I'm going to do something that priests aren't normally supposed to do. Speak of something that is occurring in our time that the church has not yet given approval to, because she can't give approval until it ceases, so that when everything is all said and done, she can proclaim upon it. Okay, with that lead in. So 2 weeks ago, I was in the little village of Medjugorje. And I have to tell you, I believe with all my heart that what is allegedly occurring in that tiny little village is real. And I think it is not only one of the most extraordinary events for the church and the world in the times that we live in, but in the entire history of the world. You all have heard of Fatima, of Lourdes, of Guadalupe. Our Lady appeared on a few occasions in those cities, and those events that happened 100 or hundreds of years ago have changed the face of the earth. Our Blessed Mother appeared twice in Guadalupe, and what happened? In a very short time, over 9 million people were baptized Catholic. That was almost 500 years ago. What is one of the most Catholic countries in the entire world even today? Mexico, where Our Lady appeared. If what is happening in Medjugorje is real, that Our Lady has been appearing there for the last 30 years every single day, think of the fruits that God wants to bring from it. And why do I believe those apparitions are real? Because of the fruits that are already seen. Pope John Paul II, he called Medjugorje the confessional of the world. When we were there, there were over 30,000 people. I went with a group of 50 pilgrims. There were over 30,000 people there at one time. Over 150 priests. So if you've never seen a Mass with 30,000 people, 150 priests can celebrating, it's extraordinary. What happens is those priests are in the confessional from 4:30 a.m. until 11 o'clock at night. And at the heat of the day, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., there are anywhere from 75 to 100 priests. If you're going to get in line for confession, you have to wait at least an hour, if not 2 hours, just to go to confession. And that's in every single line. The conversions that I've seen take place there, it's amazing. I've had the chance in the last 15 years to not only travel all across the country, the United States, but all throughout Europe. You know who? The people starting Bible studies, Eucharistic adoration, the people who are transforming their parishes almost always are people who have gone on pilgrimage to Medjugorje. Over 40 million people in the last 30 years. The first day we were there, one of the visionaries, and there are six, when Our Lady began to appear there 30 years ago, she appeared to six young people between the ages of 9 and 16. There was one boy who's 15 years old, and he was there this summer. And on the first day we were there, he gave a talk to all of us. And he shared many, many wonderful things. But one thing that most touched my heart, he said, people oftentimes ask me to describe our Blessed Mother to them. He said, it's totally impossible. He said, I can give the general details. I can say that when she comes, she's standing on a cloud. That she wears a gray dress. That she has a white veil. Her hair is dark. He said, but I can never put into words her beauty. He said, it's transcendent. He says, from the first moment I wake up every single day of my life, my first thought is, oh my goodness, I get to see her again. He said, the second thought, which is my greatest suffering, is that the vision will end. And I won't be able to go to heaven with her. He said, she's so beautiful that even though I love my wife and my children, I would go with her in a heartbeat so that I could behold her forever. One time he asked Our Lady, he said, Mary, how are you so beautiful? She said, my son, I am beautiful because I love. If you love, you will be beautiful too. So what does all this have to do with the reading today? Where am I going with this? Okay, so Our Lady. She gives a message once a month on the 25th that is a message for the world. And she begins each of those messages, she says, "My dear children." And when she says that, she's speaking to all of her spiritual children, all of us, all Christians throughout the world. In one of her most recent messages, she says, "My dear children, you must, in the times that you live in, once again choose God anew. He must have the first place in your lives." And she said, in putting Him in the first place in your life, that means that you must turn away from sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells a parable of the sower sowing his seed. It is the work of God in the hearts and souls of every person in the world longing for their salvation. There is not a single person on the face of the earth, that He does not give His grace to, that they might be saved. But my brothers and sisters, what happens? Every heart has a degree of openness. And it is the degree to which they have chosen to allow God into their lives, and the degree to which they have chosen to turn away from sin, because the two go hand in hand. And one of the scariest thoughts that our Lord reveals in this parable is that there are some hearts that are so hard that God has no access to them. The rocky soil, the path on which the sower sowed his seed. I remember one time when Mother Teresa was out in public, she was very interactive with crowds. When she would give talks, people would shout out from the crowd, she'd respond to them, or if she was walking through a group of people, she'd greet them, speak with them. One day she's walking through a crowd and she has a whole entourage of the Missionaries of Charity, sisters in her order. And she's walking through, and this gentleman from the crowd, well, he probably wasn't really a gentleman, this guy from the crowd yells out, starts speaking obscenities, saying these terrible things about Mother Teresa and her order. You're a fake, you're a phony, what are you doing? You think God approves of your actions? And a lot worse that I can't say in church. Her sisters were so surprised because she did not say a single word, didn't respond to him, just put her head down silently and returned to the convent. And the sisters get back and they said, "Mother, what are you doing? That man, he was speaking lies. He was defaming us. Why didn't you defend us?" And she said, "My sister's words would have been useless. That man's heart is totally closed. In those situations, only prayer and sacrifice will work on such hearts." But what about those hearts? What about those souls who they receive the word of God and it begins to grow, but then the thorns choke it? What does that refer to? What can we equate that to? My brothers and sisters, why do some of us, we're going along, things are going well, we're going to church regularly, our faith seems so strong, and then we fall away? We might not come to Mass for a while. We don't go to confession for years. We're wishy-washy. We're hot and cold. What is that? Well, what are those thorns? It's this struggle with serious sin. You know, we're going along well, and all of a sudden we fall again, and we think, "Gosh, why does that happen to me?" Because we haven't yet made the decision. I'm not going to do that anymore. And it really is a choice, as Our Lady says. You know, have every single one of us said, "Okay, mortal sin is not going to have a place in my life any longer. I am not going to get drunk ever again. I am not going to skip Sunday Mass. I will refrain from all sexual intimacy before marriage." Until we've made that choice, there will be times where the thorns strangle us, where we fall away from the faith. But then who are these individuals who bear 30, 60, 100-fold? Why doesn't everyone bear 100-fold? Why, if a person said, "Yes, I want God in the first place in my life," why aren't we all bearing great fruit for God? Because then it's all those lesser sins. Okay, the big ones, we're done with that. They're not going to have a place anymore in our lives. But what about the other stuff? How about those TV programs where we say, "You know, gosh, there's not very good content on it, but you know, it's not terrible. Or those books, the music, it's probably not doing great good for my soul, but you know, it's not too bad. Or gossip, or overeat, or whatever it might be. God wants all of it gone. But it entails a choice. Lord, I want to live for you and let go of all sin. Our Blessed Mother said, I am beautiful because I love. Mother Teresa one time said, if one prays, then one will love. Without prayer and the sacraments, we will never succeed in keeping God in the first place in our lives. May we be faithful not only to Sunday Mass, but our daily rosary. Mass more often during the week, if possible. Some time for our Lord every single day, that He might fill us with His grace to turn from sin and live for Him.